Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah.
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 Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Can we bless his name? Hallelujah. Can we bless him? Can we bless him? I'm going to get in with you. Let's bless his name. Let's bless his name. Let's bless his name. Let's bless his name. He's worthy. I said, God is worthy. Our God, Creator God, he's worthy. Can we do this? Can we do some of this? Can we do some of this? Is it okay? Can we do some of this? I'm not trying to manipulate you, but I do want to have kind of a reset here, because this is only a part of what Monica is doing right now. Only a part, I said. Think about how often, can I get a microphone? How often, I don't want to lean over like this all day. And we will be here all day. I'm not going to be out here. But I do need to be a little freer than this. Amen. Take your time, sir. I appreciate you filling in up there. Amen. Thank you so much. But see, often in the preceding months, I should say, wanted to do what we just did and couldn't. And if you recall, there was a proxy praise that we sent up for her about 6 or 7 months ago in this place.
Yeah.
But now she doesn't need any proxy praisers for her. I mean, isn't that good news? She doesn't need us to intercede with praise for her anymore. She's praising God for herself. She sees our Creator for herself. Hallelujah. And I would like to offer my condolences to my family, especially to Bridget, Audra, and LaQuinta, Monica's daughters, my nieces, and also to my brothers, Ramon and Rashad. Last Thursday, we had our time of meeting and talking together and just talking through the kind of men that we needed to be in a time like this. And my talking with them was an encouragement for me, because while I'm here today in this capacity to bring words of comfort, I am also amongst the number who is in mourning. I am mourning while I'm also comforting. And now you gotta think about that for a second. This is the kind of thing that God does, right? But I offer my condolences and also thanks to the spiritual and financial supporters of our family during this time, other family members, other friends and associates. Thank God for you and for how you've come to be a support for us. And thanks, of course, to this, the Jones Family Church, for all intents and purposes. Amen.
Amen.
I didn't say Jones Memorial. I said Jones Family Church.
Yeah.
It's the Greenview First Baptist Church.
Right?
And for Pastor Johnny Owens, who is, frankly, I'm coming to consider a good friend of mine and a good preach brother for sure. I always appreciate his outlook and his sense of humor. Well, I do. And it's always an encouragement to me to talk with him and interact with him. I appreciate him being here with us on today. Also to the officers and musicians and stewards and members of this fine church, blessings upon you and the clergy has been acknowledged somewhat a little bit earlier by Deacon Super. I'm just going to ask if you're ordained clergy to please stand very quickly. If you're ordained, you're in the clergy, please stand very quickly. Don't hesitate. Quickly, quickly. If that's you, amen. We thank God for you. We appreciate you here being. Thank you so much. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. And so, I know that we want to move forward in the service. I would like, though, for us to be reflective of Monica, and that this is our time here together, amen, to begin the commemoration and to memorialize her, to celebrate her life, hallelujah. And I want to take the time that's necessary to do it in a way that's fitting for someone like my sister, amen. And again, a time like this is difficult indeed, because it's hard to separate my mission from my mourning. Again, I have the privilege of standing here to provide words of comfort to the mourning. And at the same time, as I said, I am also one of those who are mourning and in need of comforting words, but God grants more grace. Grace upon grace that we can together share so that our mourning is made easier to bear, our comfort can be made complete, and the echo of our travail will be overcome by the sound of our rejoicing. Because we are here because Monica's in heaven. I mean, we're here because she's in heaven. And we want the sound of our rejoicing and our healing, our sounds of celebration for the life of Monica to outweigh those other things. So I'll take a few fleeting moments to talk to you some about Monica. And I want to testify to some things that I believe all of us would agree to with regard to Monica Lynn Jacobs Williams. The first thing I think we can agree to is that Monica was a prayer. I said a prayer. I didn't say she was someone who said prayers. That's what little children do on the side of the bed. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. And as I used to say when I was little, fashy die before I wake.
Well,
it wasn't until I was about 20 years old that I learned fashy die wasn't even a word. It was if I should die, fashy die before I wake. I pray the Lord my soul to take. No, that's not, Monica was not one who said prayers. She was a prayer. She was someone, listen, who practiced the presence of cultivating a relationship with God through communication constantly with Him. She was in constant communication with the Creator. And Monica was a steadfast prayer. She believed in the words of Jesus in Luke 18:1 that men always ought to pray and not faint.
Yes, sir.
This was a source of her spiritual power and resilience to do all the things that she did in this life. You've heard many of them already, taking care of her daughters, taking care of our mother. This was the source of her power. The source of her strength was that she was a prayer. And especially as she gave her time and talents and treasures to caring for many others. Not only was she a prayer, but she was also a praiser. Y'all think like I'm talking about a stranger or something. I said Monica Lynn Jacobs Williams was a prayer and a praiser. Do I have any witnesses for that? Was she a praiser? She was a praiser. Monica wasn't one who was given to mere placation and blowing smoke up people's expiratory orifices. Yeah. That's earthly praise. Monica was a praiser after the ilk of King David. That is, someone who wasn't afraid to become downright undignified in her praising. She'd be like, y'all are laughing at me because I'm praising my God, and you think I may look undignified, but guess what? I'm going to look even more undignified than that. Give me another minute or two, and I'm going to look even crazier because I'm praising my God. You see, Monica wasn't afraid to become undignified while also remaining sanctified in her praise towards the great and holy God. You see, she didn't mind shouting out with a voice of thunderous praise. I said thunderous praise. I'm not talking about Barak, where she would just bless the Lord. I'm not talking about Zamar, where she would just sing to the Lord. I'm not talking about Tehillah, where she would just sing some songs. Y'all don't hear what I'm saying. She wouldn't just do a yada to God to give him thanks, or a todah of thanks to God. No, she wouldn't shabbat him or shabbat him. No, Monica would like to halal Yah. Oh my God. She would like to halal Yah. I said she would give a halal unto you, a hallelujah praise. Hallelujah, God. That would be so powerful to the extent, listen, that it would shake the foundations of our house. Somebody knows what I'm talking about. It would shake the foundations of the church house. It would even shake the foundations of the devil's house. This is the kind of praise that she would do. And when you would hear her going up in praises to God, I got to tell you, both the wretched and the righteous wanted to straighten up and fly right, because they knew they were hearing a true praiser in the presence of a most holy God. But she was a prayer and a praiser, but she was also a provider. One of the most impressive things to me personally was how great of a provider that Monica was. I often remarked to her on many times throughout the years that I was extremely proud of her, of how she made a way for her and her daughters to stay together. I mean, this, as we've heard earlier from Sister Marion, as Monica was providing for her three lovely daughters, Bridget, Audrey, and LaQuinta, she did this as a single black mother in the American South. And that's praiseworthy right there to say that she did. Well, it is. We ought to thank God that she was able to do that. That's praiseworthy. And I would often remark to her that you're just like Mama. Y'all know who Mama was. The one coin with the two sides, Vivian and Anne. Monica was just like Mama, that she was a constant steadying source and Holy Ghost directed force to provide food, clothing, and shelter for her children. I was, and I still am, inspired by the way that she was, listen, determined to keep all four of them together. Hallelujah. I'm really impressed by that. Used to go to all the places that they live, and I think, man, you out here doing it. No, she was out there doing it. Well, we can't stay here, but at least we'll come over here, and all four of us will be together. Well, we may have to leave here, and we'll go over there, but guess what? All four of us will go together. And so she was a soul provider and a soul guider of her daughters and many others in this life, and I'm still stunned by that fantastic feat of her being a provider. Is this the Monica that we know? Am I talking about a stranger? Is this the Monica that we know? She was a prayer, a praiser, and a provider, but she was also a protector. I never knew that she wanted to lay hands on Marion about marrying Carl. That's the first time I've ever heard that. What you doing messing with my cousin? I had to talk to you afterwards to see how that really panned out, other than y'all got together. I would like to know about that. Monica wasn't a person to be trifled with. She was fiercely protective of those folks that she loved. She was, to me, the first real ride or die, run till the tank goes dry, person that I've ever known. She's the first person I met like that I can recall. And as a daughter, a sister, a cousin, a friend, a mother, an aunt, a grandmother, and all of that, Monica was a fiercely loyal and devoted protector of the people that she loved. And she loved a lot of people, so she did a lot of protecting. She always wanted to see people helped and not hurt. Am I right about that?
Yeah.
She wanted to see people built up and not beat down. Am I right about this? If I'm right, you can say amen.
Amen.
She wanted to see people picked up and not picked on. This was Monica. And if she sensed that you were perpetrating an act of pugilistic purpose against somebody or some ill-willed intent to bring undue harm to somebody, you better watch out. Because she was going to ball up those two deadly foes, Hiroshima and Nagasaki. And she was going to unleash that nuclear fury upside your head. Now, how do I know about this? Monica was a protector. And she was going to try to protect the person who was going to be put at risk. But lastly, I will say this, that she was, a prayer, a praiser, a provider, a protector. But Monica was also pretty. I thought I might get some more amens for that. I said my sister was pretty. She got a bunch of cousins in here too. Uncles and aunts. I said my sister was pretty. Hallelujah. My sister was pretty. She was gorgeous. She was a real babe. We ain't got out of here yet. I said she was pretty. I say that she was pretty, I don't mean just in the sense that all of the preceding Jones women were pretty. Queen was pretty. Loretta was pretty. Y'all better wake up in here. I said Kat was pretty. She was pretty. I said Ann was pretty. Freddie still is pretty. Pretty Freddie. I got my head tilted to the side. Pretty Freddie. Of course she was fine like the Jones women, but what I really mean is that she was a beautiful person both inside and outside. Amen. Amen. That's praiseworthy. She was a beautiful person inside and outside. And on the outside, she had a very pleasing aesthetic. Fair, honey brown skin. Hazel eyes. A lovely smile. And good hair. No matter which color she made it on any given day. Amen. I said she was pretty, but on the inside, she had such a beautiful spirit. She seemed to always want the best for everyone else and not just for herself. She would encourage you with a kind word, a caring inquiry, or simply just being there for you if you needed somebody in your corner. There was such an appealing countenance and spirit and elan and essence to Monica that you couldn't help but to say, there's something different about that girl. She was pretty. Inside and outside, and all of us have been the better for having known her with her pretty self. Amen. But I want to tell you a couple of other things about Monica that you may not have known before I take just a very brief time in Ecclesiastes 3 to talk about time. Can I do that? You may not have known that Monica was a dominant football player.
Y'all are making jokes, but I'm being serious.
At the Jones Memorial Stadium on 6105 Davis Street, Monica was the unadulterated, indisputable, unstoppable front yard force. She was the MVP of Jones Memorial Stadium. You couldn't bring her down. She had the belt and wore the crown on that field until she retired. See, Scooter knows it, because he couldn't stop her. Carl knows it, because he wouldn't even come out there and try. Me and Ramon know it, because we done had a lot of sneaker prints in our chest and on the side of our face, in our head, when Monica would break loose. Dominating as a football player. You couldn't stop her, and you couldn't even hope to contain her. But she was also an unparalleled laugher. Anybody ever saw, yeah, I saw you, brother. Anybody ever been around Monica, she would just bust out laughing for no reason? Sometimes I would see her doing that. See, y'all know what I'm talking about. Sometimes I would see her doing that, and I would just stand and look at me like, what's wrong with you? And it seemed like the longer I stood there looking, the harder she would start laughing. And I would just be like, what is... And after a while, I found myself laughing along with her, and I'm just going, why are you laughing with her? I don't know. We're just enjoying life and having a good time just being alive. But lastly here, Monica was also a giver of good shoes. This is my personal testimony. You see, anybody remember when we used to call them Nikes, Nikes? Maybe you still call them Nikes when they first came out, Nikes. Remember when they first came out, you had the canvas kind with just the blue stripe on the side? That's all you could get. But then the leather ones came out. Anybody remember the white leather ones? They had the little gray stripe on the side? That was a high dollar right there back in the day. Others of us knew more about cougars from that dealer departed Pick and Pay. Cougar man right here. You know, them Faditas, the fake Adidas, Faditas, they have four stripes on the side, y'all know what I'm talking about? I'm going to school and I got holes in my pants and holes in my shoes because my cougars had done well. You know how they say your shoes talking? Anybody remember that? Talking shoes? This is how Monica was. When we could still wear the same size shoe, Monica took her white leather, gray striped Nikes and didn't want me walking around Fairwall with talking shoes and people picking at the holes in my pants and in my shoes. And she gave me her Nikes, a giver of good shoes. People say, man, where you got them shoes from? Well, I always had them in the closet. I just wouldn't wear them. Lying, too embarrassed to tell the truth. She dominated on the gridiron. She had unparalleled laughter, and she was a giver of good shoes. But I've been grieving about Monica in a way, frankly, for which I wasn't prepared. My grief at her transition into glory has been greater than my father, John Jacobs, my stepfather, Johnny Valentine, and my own mother, Vivian Alfreda Jones Jacobs Valentine, all put together, has not equaled what I've been doing with Monica's passing. Help me.
Thank you.
Help me. Yeah, help me. And it's because, in large part, I feel like I've been robbed of a chance to enjoy life with my sister and my brothers as we made it through many dangers, toils, and snares. Where the kind of life that we lived, it's a wonder that we're even alive today. But I saw us having time together and singing the great song of how we made it over, because nobody knows like we know
the stuff that we endure. And I was ready to do that.
And then there just wasn't enough time. And I was reminded of Ecclesiastes 3. Can I just read, and I just will say a few words and set us free today. Amen. Is that all right?
Amen.
Let me do this. Ecclesiastes 3 and 1 from the New King James Version. To everything there is a season.
Yeah.
A time for every purpose under heaven.
Mm-hmm.
A time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, and a time to pluck up what is planted. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to break down and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to gain and a time to lose. A time to keep and a time to throw away. A time to tear and a time to sow. A time to keep silence and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time of war and a time of peace. What I see in that Hebrew poetry, in that parallelism that gives you a contrast between each state, a state of chaos and a state of peace, a state of turmoil and a state of contentment, a state of bewilderment and a state that is beautifully satisfying. Isn't that what life sounds like to you?
Yes.
That in the one moment, it seems like all of Hades is breaking loose. It appears that the hounds of Gehenna have gotten out of their pen. It appears to me that the beasts from out of Tartarus have come forth and seek to devour. In other words, like all hell is breaking loose. And you're wondering, God, do you even see what's going on? Where are you in the midst of what's taking place, messing my life up right now? Thought you told me that the devil was defeated. That's what you said in your word. But all I see is a bunch of trouble all around me. And then there come the good times. Where everything, as I heard, is howdy, howdy.
Yeah.
And no more goodbye.
All right.
I'm feeling good because I have money in my pocket. I have food on my table. My health is good. My hair is growing. Amen. I can have people who love me and support me, and it's all good. And then the next thing you know, it's back to the chaos.
Yeah.
Isn't this what life is like? The Bible tells us that even when this is taking place, ultimately there will be a time of peace. You see, we can't expect that in this time on this side. Why? Listen. Verse 9, what profit has the worker from that in which he labors? I have seen the God-given task with which the sons of men are to be occupied. Listen. He has made everything beautiful in its time.
Yeah.
Also, he has put eternity in their hearts.
Yeah.
Except that no one can find out the work that God does from the beginning to the end. He said, you have a chance in this chaotic life where you go back and forth. You go about doing your work. You're going about day to day. But then there's God who shows up, and in his time,
Yeah.
He makes it all beautiful.
Yeah.
But he didn't stop there, because we wonder why am I longing for a time of peace?
Yeah.
Because he's put eternity in our hearts. Do you know what eternity is? Eternity is the place where God resides.
Yeah.
God is eternal. He's beyond time. There's no changing with him about today is going to be bad and tomorrow's going to be good. Tomorrow's going to be good, but today is going to be bad. God is just always good.
Yeah.
Eternally good. He put something of himself into us like a homing beacon. Every now and then you're sitting around even at the happiest of your times here, but you know they're not going to last. You're saying, I wish it could go on forever, but it doesn't last forever, brothers and sisters. A time will come on this side of life, the other side of eternity, whereupon we long to be free. That's God's eternity in our hearts. He's calling to us, calling to us, calling, calling to us. Calling to come to me, calling to us.
Yes.
I know I wanted to have my time with my sister. You all wanted to have your time with her, but God said, no, it's the end of her time.
Right.
It's time for her to be beautiful in eternity. Yeah. Y'all don't hear what I'm saying, but it was her time to be beautiful in eternity.
Yeah.
There was nothing we had on this side that could compare to that. There was no amount of cruising around the Atlantic Ocean that was going to replace that.
No
trips that she could take over the seas and find another place. There was no place for that.
No.
It was her time to be done. God does things that nobody can change. You can't change what God has already decided to do. There's a time for all of us where we'll be absent from this body and present with the Lord. Now, in the context of the scriptures, that's about believers, as Paul talked to the Corinthian church in 2 Corinthians 5 and 8. But all of us are going to see him. The only matter in this case is, are you going to stay with him? Oh, yeah, you're going to go see. Everybody will get to see him. But not everybody's going to get to stay. You see, Monica right now, as one of my good brothers said, as I'm done at this point, he said to me in a text message, Elder Reginald Gabriel from Charlotte, he said to me, you know, brother, I'm praying for you and everything, but this is what he said. Now your sister Monica runs strong and free in the kingdom of heaven. Do you really think that she wishes she could come back here to go to Myrtle Beach? Do you really think she wants to eat shrimp down in Charleston? Does she care about going out to the West Coast to be out there and see the Pacific Ocean? Do you really think?
No.
She's looking down and smiling at us right now. Why is she concerned about this foolishness? Well, y'all don't like me now. I said something wrong now. Why would she? Yeah, he go down there talking about he's dominating in football. Why he messing with? She's not doing any of that. You know what she's doing right now? She's up there with the four living creatures. Up there around the throne of God. What they do in there? They cry, holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty, who was and is and is to come. And then I heard that there were 24 elders. What they doing up there? Come on, you are worthy, oh God, to receive glory and power and honor. And Monica has taken her place. I heard there's a choir there. 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. Somebody said that their voices are as the sounds of many waters. She's not concerned about what's happening here. She's probably glad we ain't laughing at her undignified praising anymore. She's praising God strong and free right now. Listen, she was a prayer, a praiser, a provider, a protector, and she was pretty. Hallelujah. And if we want to see her again, then we ought to accept the invitation to go and be where she is. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We bless you and we magnify you, God. Comfort our hearts again, oh God. Set us free from the grief that has beset us. Bring us into a delivering place, oh God, or deliver us into a place
of great praise and reflection and joy on the life of Monica. Hallelujah, God. You can do it. As you comfort each of us by the power of your Spirit, and that we will comfort one another. Father, I pray that if there's anyone here today who has not received Jesus Christ in the free pardoning of their sins, God, touch their hearts. Have them to cry out, I yield, what must I do to be saved? Then they can understand that they don't have to remain incarcerated by grief. But the shackles of sadness can be loosed by the joy of their salvation in Christ Jesus. Father, will you do it? We pray that you will. We bless you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Let the redeemed say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Bless God. Hallelujah.